And to this noble assembly, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus, because people behind me, beside me, and in front of me are filled with the most precious gift and commodity that has ever come into the knowledge of man, and that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're the only people on the face of the earth that know where we were. We know where we are, but we know where we're going. And I was born to do this. I was born to act like this. I am not ill at ease at all. There are many things I could do for you tonight. There are many things I could preach to you. But I really would like to talk to you from my heart on this opening night of this camp meeting. I would like to just talk to you from the deep of my heart about a subject that the Holy Ghost is trying to impress in upon us as a people, individually and conglomerately. This is an unprecedented hour. We're at the end, and it's now or never for us. It's now or never for us. There's only one verse of Scripture I want to read tonight in your hearing. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 45, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 45. Here is a statement that says, Jesus himself was speaking here. He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Bible says that even Jesus himself came not to be ministered unto, but his express purpose in coming was to minister to others and to give his life a ransom for many, even the likes of us. And I want to entitle this tonight, "O Come, Let Us Become Burdened Together." Would you lift your hands and your voices, and would you pray sincerely from your heart tonight that God will do exactly what he wants to do in this place? Lord Jesus, tonight, as we stand in the awesome presence of a living God, as we begin, O Lord, this camp meeting in 1988, as the shadows, O Lord, of the evening time begin to creep in upon us, it is promised and written in your word that there shall be light in the evening time. Help us, O Lord, to see that light tonight. Anoint us together, individually, as a group of people. Speak to our hearts and to our minds. Help us to never be the same again. Hear us, O Master of the universe. Anoint us to hear and to speak. We will not fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask all of these things in the matchless, resplendent, all-powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Let's give the Lord one great round of applause together. Would you do that? Somehow I think we could do a lot better than that. Let's pull out all the stops. There's no one here but us. No one here but us. And the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. For God is great, and he is greatly to be praised. And of his kingdom there shall never ever be an end. This thing that we feel tonight will go on and on and on forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just loosen ourselves in the Spirit of the Lord tonight. There's no one here but us and Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. It feels better. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I graduated in 1967 from one of the leading Bible colleges in this country at that time. That particular Bible college prided itself in developing preachers. Their big thing was to develop a preacher. And the classes were geared to develop you or to train you to be able to stand in front of people and to deliver what thus saith the Lord. And they had a particular way of doing it. Their big thing was to start a fire, build a bridge, and then pull the people across the bridge to you. And when we went to chapel every day, they passed out these little evaluation sheets, and everyone evaluated you as you tried to start a fire, build a bridge, and pull people across to you. And after 3 years of that, I'm not sure if I did it or not. All I know is I went through it. I learned a lot of things about the Bible there, and they gave me a very good Bible foundation, I would say. But in spite of all that they taught, in spite of all the chapel services I went to, in spite of all the church services I went to, in spite of all the classes, there is one thing they did not teach me how to do. They did not teach me how to minister. They taught me how to preach, or they worked at it. But they never once mentioned ministering to other people. Not once in 3 years. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, that even the Master himself did not come into this world to be ministered unto, but he came here to minister and to give his life a ransom. I don't know how pastors who are here tonight feel about this, but I'll tell you how I feel about it. When I pastored, and I've done it 3 times in New York State, when I pastored, I did not need evangelists coming to my church or preachers who were passing through to come and preach their sermons or sermonettes or whatever, and then tie up their throats and sit down and wait to be taken out to eat. That is not what I needed. I needed somebody in that devil-infested area that would come to my church, that would not only preach the Word of God, but when he stopped preaching, he would leave the pulpit, leave the place of pomp and ceremony in our mind's eye, and go in among the people and climb over pews and go get them and help them to either become saved or to become delivered. Pastors in this hour are weary. They are exhausted. When someone comes or came to my pulpit, I needed somebody that would not only preach, but that would get a hold of the people and help them in the altars and pray them through and lay their hands upon them and speak to them words of exhortation, encouragement, and deliverance. Step again and shout with our voices unto the Lord for just a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I will have had the Holy Ghost 25 years this October 6th. In the 25 years that I have been in this, I have watched Pentecostals everywhere, in this country, out of this country. Not so much out of this country do I see what I want to talk to you about here tonight, but in this country, from coast to coast, border to border, I've gone to conferences, district conferences, national conferences, sectional conferences. I've been to camp meetings, all kinds of revivals, all kinds of regular church services in 25 years. And I have watched Pentecostals everywhere. I have been to large conferences. I have watched, when the preaching is finished, altars bigger than this one, filled with people, crying, praying, struggling. I've watched preachers come to the edge of a platform.
I've watched them fold their arms and look down at these people who are praying and never, never go near to them. Never extend a hand to them. Never reach out with a hand to touch or to help or to try to transmit anything. I've watched saints at the back of, I don't know, innumerable services, churches, campgrounds. I've watched them, the power of God fall. People come running to an altar, crying, sobbing many times. And I've watched saints stand at the back of auditoriums like this one and yak and talk about non-essentials. I've watched you laugh and tell jokes at the back while people are struggling in a life and death situation just a few feet from you, and you would never ever go forward, not even to lay a hand upon them, not to try to encourage one of them, not to touch one of them. Do you know what our problem is? I'll tell you what our problem is. We have forgotten what it is like to be lost. We have forgotten what it is like to feel the sting and the stain of sin. We no longer feel it. We've been saved for X amount of years. So what? So what if you've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years? So what? So what? I'm not impressed, and neither is God. We have forgotten what it is like to be lost. We have forgotten what it is like to feel the sting and the stain of sin, to have the uncertainties race through our bodies, not knowing where we are or what we are. Who cares about your $500 pair of shoes or your $400 suit or your $500 dress? Who cares? Who cares? It is not important. It is not important at all. It's not important. God is not impressed. This man that we claim as our Messiah, this Jesus of Nazareth that we talk about and pledge all these vocal allegiances to, he gave in the most beggarly elements of this situation. He walked down the road of my life one day and knocked on my door. And let's face it, people, most of us were a bunch of nobodies going nowhere. We lived on dead-end street and our house number was zero. But one day, this man called Jesus came walking down the road of my life. He came to my door and he knocked on my door. And I heard his voice. I've never heard a voice like his. I've never felt a touch like his. I've never known anything like him. Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to any of us. And I make no apology to anybody here tonight for anything that happens, because we were once lost, but now we are saved. We are on our way to heaven. This man over here has got a right to run. He's got a right to shout. You've got a right to dance. You've got a right to, because we have been redeemed by the hands of the Lord. We have been redeemed by the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the state of New York, where I come from, the American Medical Society there, they are teaching people, nurses in nurses' training programs, they're teaching a nurse to lay hands on the sick when they go into hospital rooms. The American Medical Society teaches in nurses' training programs that if a nurse who is well walks into a room and lays her hands on a patient who is ill, something is transmitted from the nurse that is well to the patient that is ill that actually causes the sick patient to become better. If they are teaching that in nurses' training, what then should we be doing who are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and read in the Holy Writ about a doctrine of laying on of hands? These signs shall follow them that believe. Not those with their collars turned around backwards, but anybody who is a believer. Anybody who is a believer. Anybody who is a believer. Anybody who has been to water in Jesus' name. Anybody who has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is something inside of us tonight that transcends human logic and reasoning and understanding. There is something inside of us tonight locked up that wants to get out. Oh, we dance and shout in meetings, but that's not what He wants to do. He wants to touch them. He wants to touch them. He wants to speak to them. He wants to go in among them. And we are His hands, and we are His feet. We are His lips in this hour. The Bible says if you will lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. What's the big deal anyhow? This is a hand. It's a hand. This is a head. It's got hair on it, too. A hand and a head. What's so mysterious about all of that? But according to this book that I carried in here, if you place a hand upon a head or a shoulder in the name of Jesus, something is supposed to happen. And something does happen. The lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised to life again, the Holy Ghost will fall, divine healing will come upon the scene, deliverance will come upon the scene, people will run and shout and leap for joy because it's like a fire that is shut up in our bones. And we do have it, people. I have come here to try to remind you this week that we really do have it. It really is inside of us. You really do have the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Power. Power. I remember in the first church I pastored, a little old building on Webster Street. Brother Kraft, you preached there for us years ago. A miserable situation. Devils hanging from the light post. Wave at you as you walk down the streets, infested with devils. Let me tell you something. In a place like that, you've either got it or you don't got it. This thing either works or it doesn't work. They told me for 3 years it works. I don't know any better. I wasn't raised in this. You pumped me full of this for years. My pastor, to get me out of my vocation in this world and my activities in college, said, if you will come and serve God, He'll do great things for you, boy. He'll do great things for you. In Pentecost, the dead can be raised to life again. Deaf ears can open. Blind eyes can be healed. The lame can walk. They didn't teach me that in the Baptist church or the Evangelical Free Church. Never heard anything about it. But you said it. You claimed it as part of your heritage. You claimed it as the counterpart of a rushing mighty wind and cloven tongues of fire in 33 AD. You said it would happen. I don't know any better. You're the ones that taught me. You're the ones that schooled me. And I believed it. I believed it. So if you don't like me, blame yourself. You're the one that pumped me full of this. You're the one that said it would happen. I let go of everything to do this. This either worked or it didn't work. This was better than where I was headed. I said, Jesus, if there is a God that can cause things to happen now, like I read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then that is the kind of God I want to serve. And that's the kind of God you better take to Africa. It's the only kind of God those Africans will respond to. We don't need a bunch of head knowledge in our day. We need the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power. We need to see Him resurrected from the dead. We need to hear the sound of His voice. We need to touch Him again as He was way back there. And so, I believe it. I have always believed it. And I always will believe it. I remember one Sunday morning walking into this little Sunday school class I taught downstairs. I taught the teenagers in those days in my church. I give a lot of my time to young people. Here's the reason. If you save an older person, you have saved a soul. Not that that's not important, but if you can save a young person and really keep them saved, you have saved an entire lifetime. There is no way for me to tell you, young people, what we save you from, the cares, the hurt, the disappointments, the shipwreck. If we can get you to serve God, really serve God, really live for Him, there is no way to tell you what we have saved you from. No way. So I taught the teenagers in this church. Another man taught my adult Sunday school class. One Sunday morning, the little folding chairs on a cement floor painted gray. I'll never forget it because I painted it myself. That's how I know. In walked a boy with a cast all around his leg and crutches. Like your crutches, son. Here he came. I've never seen him before. Dark hair, dark skin, dark eyes. He sat down. I opened my little Sunday school quarterly, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you will go lay hands on him, I will give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sunday school. I said, okay, Jesus, I'll do it. In my way of doing things, I began to sing a little chorus. I just closed the quarterly. I began to sing a little old chorus that my kids liked. And those kids knew what I was up to, and they began to sing. And as they began to sing, the Spirit of God came in that basement. People, this is where it's at right here. This is where it's at right here. I left that little old podium, and I walked right down to this boy, and I knelt down in front of him. I'd never seen him before. I knelt down in front of him and began to pray in the name of Jesus. And when I did, he began to weep and cry. He began to sob. I said, boy, I don't know who you are, but this Jesus I serve has said to me, if I would come to you, he would give you the Holy Ghost. I said, if you'll just raise your hands. That boy raised his hands. I began to pray. I'm not exaggerating. He burst out speaking with tongues. He burst out speaking with tongues. Right there on a folding chair. The hunger that is in this world is incredible. The hunger that is out there is incredible. But they're waiting for you and for me to come. Because they don't know where it's at. But we know where it's at. We know where this is at. That Sunday night, Mark Sterren came back to service. And he danced in the aisle. God healed him instantaneously. His leg was totally healed. He went back to the doctor. They cut the cast off. And that boy is still dancing in the presence of the Lord. He's still worshiping God today. But you know where he is? He's doing it in Amman, Jordan. He is our missionary to Amman, Jordan. But it happened on a folding chair in a basement because someone could hear a little voice that said, if you'll go, if you'll go, if you'll go lay hands on him, I will give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't always know why I do the things I do. I don't ask all these questions. Some people have got to have handwriting on the wall, flashing lights, sirens, and everything. You've got to learn the voice of God for yourself. You've got to know His voice. And sometimes I feel led to go to people. I don't always know exactly why I'm going. I don't ask questions. I just feel to go, so I go. But when I get there, many times I will find out what the problem is because God will show me. I remember one night in Brother Newstrand's church in Newark, Ohio. Near the end of the preaching, I was just walking down an aisle like this. I felt to go down this aisle. Why not that aisle over there? I didn't feel to go down that aisle. I felt to go down this aisle here. So I went down this aisle here, just preaching away.
There was a man unknown to me standing right back here. This man had become foot sore and toil worn in this life. He was exhausted. He had fought wicked battles. Have you ever been there? A lot of us have. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, if you still love me and you've not forgotten my name, he said it would be a very small thing for you to speak to Brother Stone King as he walks down this aisle. Have him climb over the end of the pew and climb in here and lay hands upon me. And then I will know. As I got to the end of his pew, I felt this tremendous draw. And I turned like this and looked right at him. I climbed in over the pew, laid my hands upon his chest, and the man threw his hands in the air and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gave him utterance, sobbing and crying. He is still walking with God today, wonderfully serving the Lord. But let me ask you a question. What if, people, what if I had missed? What if I had not been sensitive? What if I had not walked down that aisle? I was in Pennsylvania just a couple months ago, preaching for Don Kitchell. I met Don Kitchell when he was in Pleasantville, New Jersey. Years ago, 1968-69, he was a music instructor. We won him to God. He's preaching the gospel today. He has a fantastic church in Pennsylvania. Just preached for him. Walking down the center aisle of his little church, I walked right down the aisle, happened to stand and stop close to a man. I just felt to reach down and take a hold of this unsaved man's hand. I'd never seen him before. The fear of God hit him. When I walked down the aisle, he couldn't believe I was reaching for his hand. He couldn't believe it, but I kept on reaching. Just like I'm reaching for some of you tonight. When I took a hold of his hand, the man began to tremble. I knelt down on my knees in front of him. I said, "Brother, that's it. That's it." The man began to convulse. He shook and trembled. His wife, who was about half backslidden, had never seen any of her husband ever act like this, began to weep and cry, threw up her hands, and began to intercede in the spirit. The man leaned backwards on the seat, his head back, speaking with tongues. God filled him with the Holy Ghost right on the edge of the aisle. This is what we need to get a hold of. This is what we really need to get a hold of, people. God is speaking to some of you here tonight. I can feel it. Would you lift your hands for just a moment and open your heart and your mind to God for just a moment? There are people here who will never be the same again when this camp meeting is over. Never, never be the same again. There is a muffled sound of weeping in this place. A brokenness. I was in Landmark 2 years ago. Landmark Convention, Brother Haney's church in Stockton, California. Thousands of people were there. I was walking down an aisle. People jammed in everywhere. A man had just got out of a wheelchair and began to walk. The gift of faith had operated. He was walking that way, and so now he's walking. I'm going this way, because he's all right. I'm going down this aisle. Just feel to go down this aisle. There are four or five men standing over here. They got one man in front of them. As I walk down the aisle, they shove this man in front of them right in my face. And they yell, "He needs the Holy Ghost!" Here I am, eyeball to eyeball with a total stranger. "What are you going to do?" I said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You love God?" He said, "Yes." "You want the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Here comes." I put my hand on his chest just like that. The man fell backwards, speaking with tongues. And if I have the story straight, he's a Baptist preacher. They don't got it, folks. We got it. They don't have it. We have it. Let's clap again and just really worship the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. A little over a year ago now, I went and preached for a man in Ohio. This man had met me at the Ohio camp meeting where I preached, and he asked me if I would come and just preach in his church, Brother Ferguson. So, I told him, I said, I will try to come sometime when I can. I said, I'm scheduled solid right now, I can't come. He said, Brother Stone, can you come anytime you can come? We'll take you Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, whenever. We don't care. Just call us and you can come. I felt impressed of God to go, but I didn't have any place to go or any time to go. Working with my calendar, I saw that I could go like a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I had one little gap in my schedule. So I called him. I said, Brother Ferguson, I can come. I said, now, you told me to call you, and if it doesn't work out, I will not be offended. There are many things I've got to do. I said, but if you want me to come, I can come on these dates. It was about a month down the road. He said, Brother Stone, you come. I said, I'll fly in on Saturday. I'll preach for you Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. He said, no. He said, just preach for us on Sunday. Take Monday off. And he said, rest, and we'll have church Tuesday night, and we'll give an offering, and you can go your way. I said, well, it's all I've got. I'll be happy to preach all three nights. He said, no, it isn't necessary. I said, okay. I didn't really know this man at all. But I'd heard that he was having revival. Brother Stewart had passed away with cancer, and this man had taken over his church. He had been an assistant to Brother Stewart for 20 years. So, time came, and I went. He met me at the airport, took me off to dinner. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit, various things, dropped me off at the motel. Said, I'll pick you up in the morning. I want you to teach my Sunday school class, he said, and then we'll go to the morning worship service. I said, fine. So, we get to this church. It's an old armory building. Actually, it's sort of ugly, to tell you the truth. Even he says so. But we come in the back door, and here's this maze, this labyrinth of all these halls and iron stairways and whatever. And at the end of the building, and I can hear all this singing. I mean, all this singing and all this praying everywhere. And there's pianos playing, some of them out of tune, some of them in tune, whatever. You can just sort of tell, you know. And I'm walking through, and he said, well, in every classroom, he said, they're having church. I said, okay. So we finally got to his classroom and walked in. A woman was playing the piano, and they were singing, and he sang a song with them. And then he said, Brother Stone King is here, and we're going to have him teach Sunday school class. So I taught Sunday school class. A few people cried and prayed, and the bell rang, and we went on to the morning worship service. Now, we come in on the platform, and the platform is filled with men, several men. And I don't know who these people are, so I say, which chair do you want me to be seated in? He says, right here beside me. So I did, and I said to him after a while, I said, who are these men on the platform? He said, well, most of them, he said, are here to help me. He said, one is a missionary who has become burned out, and we're trying to rehabilitate him. We've got him over a cell group of 50 people, and we're about to cut him loose and let him have his own church again. I said, really? He said, really? I said, what about the man on the end? He said, well, that's a pastor that was about to go under. And he said, I didn't want him to be embarrassed and be a failure, so we've called him and asked him to come here. And he said, we're rehabilitating him and his family. And he said that we're going to put him over a group, and we're going to send him away with a few people and let him have his own church again. Now in this house. He opened the door. He had hobbled to the door. He opened the door, invited me in. I said, I'm Reverend Stone King. Nell Sawinski has sent me to you. I'm a man of God, and I've come to pray for you. He said, would you come in? He walked back to the corner chair near the window where he had watched me drive up. He had watched me climb the snowbank. He sat down in his chair. I said to him, I understand you have trouble with your foot. He said, I do. I said, would you mind if I looked at it? He said, Reverend, he said, I don't want you to see my foot. He said, it looks so bad. It looks so ugly. He said, I don't really want you to see it. I said, but I want to see it. I said, it won't offend me. I said, I just want to see how bad your foot really is. He said, well, if you insist. I said, I do. I've come to pray. He pulled up his pant leg and pulled down his long sock. I'm not exaggerating. From his knee down, it looked like hamburger that you had left out on the counter all afternoon. It had turned an ugly, dark blue, red, purple. that the ankle was swollen. It was inflamed. It was angry. Angry. The toes looked dead. I had brought a little bottle of oil with me in my pocket. I pulled the footstool over. Now, this is a Roman Catholic. No Catholic priest had ever treated him like this. The doctor said, we cannot save it. We're going to cut the leg off. That was the prognosis and the diagnosis. And I'm almost done. I'm going to ask you to stay seated. Nobody moving unless you absolutely have to. Would you lift your hands and just worship the Lord for a moment? There's been a lot of moving around tonight. And yet God is in this place. Wonderfully in this place. Wonderfully here. I pulled this bottle of oil out of my pocket, opened it, lifted his leg, his foot, up on this little footstool, and I got down. And I emptied that little bottle of oil in my hands. And I rubbed my hands together. I took that man's foot in my hands. And I began to massage that olive oil into that foot. No Catholic priest had ever treated him like this. He said to me, he said, dear Reverend, he said, I came in this world whole and I'm going to leave it whole. He said, I don't want to lose my leg. I said, sir, you don't have to, because I know a man called Jesus. I know a man called Jesus. I massaged his foot, closed my eyes, and prayed. As I knelt there, rubbing oil in this little Roman Catholic man's foot and leg, I can't tell you what happened inside of me. It's probably the finest thing I've ever done in all of my ministerial life. I felt like Jesus. I felt like him. For about 30 minutes, I just wept softly and prayed. At the end of about 30 minutes, I opened my eyes. That angry red had disappeared. The blue was gone. The purple had vanished. I looked up into this little man's face and tears were streaming down his face. God totally healed his leg. Totally healed his foot. It was totally healed. For the craft, I believe with all my heart, if more of us had the grace to stoop, we could lift a fallen world to him. If more of us had the grace to stoop, we could lift a fallen world. Even the Son of Man himself came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's why he came down the road of my life and your life. If he'd been like some of us, we'd never be saved. We would never be saved. We would never have been saved. But he was not like us. He came to show us how to do it. He came to show us how to do it. To lay a hand upon an ulcerated head. Take a foot of a stranger and massage it in Jesus' name. He came to show us that it's not fearful to walk up to a leper and to touch them. He came to tell us that it would be all right. He came to say, if you will go, I'll go with you. You know why most of us are about half backslidden and bored with church? It's because we're not involved doing anything in the Spirit. We just come and we want Westberg to blow us out of the seat. We want Brother Travis to blow us out of the seat. We expect Brother Kraft to have it every time. We want this one to have it and that one to have it. We want someone to entertain us. We want someone to help us in all of our woes. when the answer, friend of mine, is if we would only turn to the man or to the woman that is beside us and put a hand upon them and begin to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, such as I have, in the name of Jesus, something happens for you, Pop, when I lay my hands upon you in Jesus' name. Something happens for you. Something moves in your heart and in your soul. Something flows out of you. He's beginning to tremble and to shake. You know why? Because there's somebody living inside of me. That's why. There's someone in me besides just me. He can feel it. He can feel it. These wrinkled hands that have worked so hard in life are beginning to clap right here in his lap because there's something that is transmitted. There's something inside of you, man. There's something inside of you. There's something there. The reason some of you are weeping and crying is because the gift that is inside of you is now stirred to reach out and do a work, to do something that can only be done. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, he said, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall recover without doubt. It's a promise, friend. It's a promise. It's a promise. You've got nothing to lose. You've got everything to gain. You have nothing to lose. You've got everything to gain. If you will leave this service tonight having touched somebody else, you will be a better Christian for having done it. You'll never be so much like Jesus as when you leave your place of complacency and lethargy, and you leave your place of success and walk in among them. If you can grasp this concept, my dear brother, when you get to Africa with your family, there will be signs and wonders and miracles. There will be scores of people that will come, for they have never seen Jesus. Not the Jesus that we know. They've never seen Him the way we know Him. He can do anything. He can do everything. He can do all things. Don't teach your boys how to play ball. Teach them how to lay hands on the sick. Teach your boys how to lay hands on the sick in Africa. Teach them how to not be afraid to go touch those people that are sick and diseased. I hear the sound of weeping and the sound of crying. I've reached the point in all of this, I don't care anymore at all what anybody thinks. I could not care less. It doesn't matter to me anymore. It doesn't matter to me at all. The only thing that matters to me in this hour is that Jesus feels that I'm doing all right. That in His eyes, I am a success. The only thing that matters now, in this end time, is that we get Jesus out of the ink and the paper and let Him stand in full view before the people. Because if I can help you to see Him as He really is, I don't think Jesus really wants you on those crutches. I don't think He does. I don't think He does. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He has not changed. He is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are people in this audience tonight that could be mightily used by God. Mightily used by God. And you will be before it's over. Because you're never going to be the same after this week. It's the only reason I came. There are other places I could be. But there is something that drew me to this place. There's excitement in my soul tonight. Because there's a foundation being laid tonight.
that maybe this will be a different kind of camp meeting. Maybe it won't be just all fellowship and a bunch of foolishness. Maybe there will be all-night prayer meetings this year. Maybe you will find yourself with dreams and visions in the night. Maybe you will not be able to sleep because there will be somebody that Jesus will lead you to. Go ahead and cry. Let your voice out. It's all right. It's all right. There are many people weeping and crying. If you lift your hands and let your voice out for a moment. I cannot go on this way. We cannot go on the way we've been going on. Something has got to happen for us. Something has got to happen for us that has never, ever happened before. Something has got to happen. We don't need our schools turning out more preachers. We need our schools turning out ministers. We need people that will climb over pews, that's not afraid of each other, that will go to someone else.
Hallelujah. Can you hear the Spirit of the Lord weeping in that utterance? Can you hear Him weeping? Can you hear Jesus weeping in that utterance? Can you hear the Spirit of God weeping? You can, because He is. He is. He is. Would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands? God is speaking to us in this place tonight. God is speaking to us in this place tonight. The sound of His voice.